Well, just looking at the U.S. over the course of the past week, the key statistic that came out was the April CPI. And this is the first one in many, many months where the annual inflation rate has actually come back. It didn't come back perhaps as much as expected. It was at 8.5% year on year going back to March. It came down to 8.3% against a market expectation of 8.1%. And the core CPI came, which was at 6.5% going back to March, came down to 6.2% against a market expectation of 6%. It's the sort of movement which obviously is ripe to give you a bit of a dead cat bounce running through risk assets, because what will happen with it is, the week before we'd heard from the Fed and they said, look, you're going to chuck in 250 basis point rate hikes at the next two meetings. And the market went into a complete panic. Crypto went into a death spiral. And I think the fear was that we were going to get very, very aggressive monetary policy tightening for the foreseeable future. This pullback in the annual inflation rate just gives a glimmer of hope that the Fed may be able to slow that pace of tightening at some point. That's probably right, but there's a quirk in this tale. And that is, unfortunately, it looks as if we're going to get a double top on the inflation readings of the United States. We may get slightly lower again next month, but beyond that, the risk is that we get 2 or 3 months where inflation goes back to a new high above that 8.5%. Why is that so? Well, it's the new round of supply chain problems, largely generated out of China, with the port of Shanghai, the most important port, still closed. You know, the Chinese are still trying to work out how they even open up part of that when they're going for zero COVID policy. So that is starting to have an effect. And you can see it in the other bit of data that came out from the US last week, which is the producer price index, factory gate prices. And they're still high, very high. They didn't come back very much at the headline level, down from 11.5% to 11, and the core PPI back from 9.6 to 8.8. They were 8.8. Yeah, it was expected that that'd be around 8.9, so a little bit better than expected. But they're still well above the CPI, and they're still going to put some momentum in. And then moving to China, last week they had their inflation data coming out. And it's an interesting one because in the case of China, it's an economy which is slowing very fast now. And that's largely because of the lockdowns and the government, the common prosperity policies in China too, which have taken a sledgehammer to the property sector, and also the picking and choosing among which sectors should be supported and which should be sort of bludgeoned down. It's taken a huge toll on the Chinese economy over the course of this past year. And not surprisingly, their inflation rate came down to very, very low levels relative to the rest of the world. Well, with those latest lockdowns, their CPI has started to lift. Not alarmingly, it went from 1.5% year on year to 2.1%. But that was above market expectations at 1.9. The killer, though, is the producer price index, which was expected to slide a lot, well into the sevens because of the weakness in the economy, from 8.3% year-on-year the month before. It barely slid at all. It slid to 8%. So the factory of the world, those producer prices are starting to slow in terms of the deceleration and will probably lift from here. And that will start to feed through just about everywhere. And that together with any other disruption that we get from to commodity prices coming out of whatever happens next in the war in Ukraine. So it is going to be a pretty complicated picture over the course of the next few months. Just returning to the United States, we're starting to see quite a slide in consumer sentiment there in May. Michigan consumer sentiment came down to 59.1 from 65.2. But we're still seeing a solid and tight labor market. Initial jobless claims came at 203,000 from 202,000 the month before. They're no longer below 200,000, but they're still consistent with non-farm payrolls lifting comfortably 300,000 to 400,000 a month, pushing that U.S. unemployment rate below that 3.6% that it's been the last couple of months. And early next month, we're going to see that unemployment rate down to 3.5 or 3.4%. that will be the lowest unemployment rate in the US since 1969. So there's still a lot of tightness. It's still an economy which is basically overheating, and that's the reason why, yep, we can all get a little bit excited because we've gone over the top in this first hump in inflation. But beware those who think this is onwards and upwards forever. It's going to be a very dangerous way to play it. Now, US this week, what are we going to see? We've got a fair bit of the usual constant type indicators. We've got things like retail sales. We've got industrial production. We've also got some leading indicators like the Empire State Survey from New York and also the Philadelphia Fed Survey. And for the most part, these should be holding up pretty well. So on Monday, we've got the Empire State Survey coming out. Had a great bounce the month before to plus 24.6. Probably won't hold that. Market thinks about plus 17 for that one. Retail sales have been powering along, notwithstanding what the Consumer Sentiment Survey has been saying. So back in March, retail sales lifted by 0.7%. Expected to lift another 0.8% for the month of April. And core retail sales were up a whopping 1.4% going back to March. You can't repeat that. So basically, the market thinks, well, it's going to consolidate it well. We'll get a plus 0.3, and it will consolidate well on top of that. Industrial production powering along in the United States was plus 0.9% in March, maybe comes back a bit to 0.4. The Philadelphia Fed survey, which was strong at plus 17.6, expected to come back to plus 16.7. Another thing to watch this week is Jerome Powell. He's speaking on Wednesday night, so he may give a little bit more colour around what the Fed said going back to that last meeting. And that basically was, market, you think we've got to go a lot more aggressively. We don't think 75 basis points is appropriate, but we will do a series of 50 basis points. So it's going to be along the lines of that sort of thinking that comes through in that speech. I mentioned China last week, the CPI and PPI. This week we get the regular run of domestic economic data, and later today we'll see April fixed investment spending. It's decelerating. It's expected to come down from 9.3% year on year to 7%. Industrial production taking a huge hit, coming down from plus 5 to probably plus only 0.4. And the real whopper, retail sales in China, they were down to minus 3.5% year on year going back to March. They're expected to go to minus 6.1% year on year. Any economy experiencing that sort of decline in retail trade is at risk of going into recession. That's the risk which is building for China. And that's got to exercise their mind in terms of the authorities, in terms of the way in which they're dealing with COVID. But how do they back off it? It's one of those types of regimes where once the supreme leader has said this is the way we're going to go, it becomes a problem when you say that's not the way you're going to go. So that's the issue facing China as they go ahead. Australia last week, and it was a story of data holding up largely. So we had the April NAB Business Confidence Business Conditions Survey. Businesses in Australia really are doing well at the moment. And we saw it in the business conditions part of it. This reflects questions relating to everything about their current activity. Anything above zero means that they're expanding. Anything above about plus 10 means they're expanding really well. And if you're getting much above the high teens into the 20s, you're in full boom. And they reported, going back to the month of March, plus 15 for April. And this is taken in the uproar of the election campaigning and everything else. It went up to plus 20. So, and it's not surprising. They've got prices increasing. They can increase them relatively freely at the moment. Plenty of demand coming through. If they've got any problem at all, it all relates to labour. They can't get enough of it. And so, that's the sort of answers that were coming from that survey. It's just starting to temper confidence about the future a bit, though. Looking ahead at all the problems around the world. It was at plus 16, very strong confidence going back to the month of March. Came back to plus 10, but that's still a strong result. We also had the quarterly reports of retail sales for Q1. This will be one of the partial contributors to our GDP report for Q1, which won't come out here till the very beginning of June. But going back to Q4, there's a slight revision, but you know, we had a record high quarterly increase in retail sales by country mile, plus 8.2%. That was revised back to plus 7.9%. Still a record by any measure. Now, the market thought, well, we've seen some very good monthly retail sales figures over the last 3 months. Has been a bit of inflation. Maybe if we're lucky, we get another plus one on top of that 7.9. We got plus 1.2. So that's a huge consolidation on top of that record figure for the quarter before, and bodes well for us having one of the better Q1 GDPs compared with other countries around the world. Remembering that, you know, the US actually dipped into negative after its very strong Q4. China will almost certainly be negative. Europe's only been plus 0.2% quarter on quarter. So you know, we are out front by a country mile in terms of economic performance at the moment. Not widely recognised, although you know, say the government's trying to promote it. But it's truly remarkable that we're doing as well as we are. Now, the consumers are starting to feel a bit edgy when they talk about their prospects. They're spending, but they show their gloom when they answer the Consumer Sentiment Survey. And so the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey for May, back in April, was down 0.9%. It was down another 5.6%. And, you know, this obviously was taken, you know, with some of the developments going to the Ukraine war and what's been happening through prices and the downturn running through many markets. That largely explains that particular fall. Although if it continued, it might start to feed through into actual retail spending. This week in Australia, some pretty important things coming out. You know, we've got the minutes of the last RBA meeting. The last RBA policy meeting, the RBA started to distinguish itself from all of its peers. Now, the RBA's had a problem in that, you know, for many, many months, going back to late 2020 and before, they were saying, look, no interest rate increases to see here. We'll keep these down all the way through to 2024. Market's got sort of, I'm not sure what the market's thinking. Why are they thinking there's going to be an interest rate hike in 2022? Well, eventually, they had to come round and recognise that their CPI forecasting had literally been up the pop, and they'd been completely blindsided, and that they had no option but to start lifting interest rates. When you do that sort of shift, it's always going to be a little bit difficult when you give guidance of where you're going to go next. People are going to start to discount it. But this time I think they're actually right. And they're saying, look, you know, our inflation rate is lower than that of most of our peers. There's a lot more one-offs in our inflation rate. We haven't yet got an overheating economy, which is feeding very strong wage growth, as they have in the United States. We can afford to gradually mark up towards normal interest rates. And that normal interest rate perhaps is around 2.5% as they go a long way forward. I think that's reasonable. And so what we should expect out of the RBA is that they'll be moving in 25 basis point steps when Bank of Canada, RBNZ, the Fed, they'll all be moving up in 50s. So it's going to be quite different because there's a different inflation outlook here. But it all hangs still a lot on what wages do. This week we get the wage price index for Q1. Going back to Q4 last year, wages rose by 0.7% and were up 2.3% year on year. That 0.7% is not particularly high when you consider the inflation was really ripping along last year, and has led to what I would term one of the myths that's running around Australia at the moment, and that is that real wages have gone backwards over the past decade. Nothing could be further from the truth. They have gone backwards over the past year, but the years before that, wages were rising, not fast, but they were beating the CPI because the CPI was running so low. So there was real wage growth every year from 2016 all the way through 2020, it's only in 2021 that real wages are starting to come back. And that's because there was a bit of blindsiding running through this rapid lift in the inflation rate from essentially one-offs, which some of them are going to come out as we go through the course of the next year. So we think that for Q1, it's still going to be a fairly modest 0.7% lift in wages. That will lift the year-on-year to 2.4%. Yep, the most recent inflation rate was 5.1. So that's a big reduction in real wages in this past year. Beyond this, it starts to mark up quite a bit. And when you look at what drives wage increases in Australia in the wage price index, it's mostly institutional arrangements. It's deals struck before Fair Work Australia, enterprise bargains which are struck. Now, through Fair Work Australia, we know that we've got the minimum wage case. That will be heard early in June. Now, looking to next weekend, if the polls are right, we will be changing government. And the new government has said, look, we're with the workers. We think they should be compensated, given 5.1%. But they're also backing off a bit in what normally happens with the minimum wage, and that is it cascades to the base for many other award negotiations. They're saying, but we don't think it should go through to the other awards. That's a problem, but they're going to leave that with Fair Work Australia to try and determine. ACTU has already put in for 5.5%. So Fair Work Australia has to look at these things. Now, that clearer than any politician. And they look at the figures that I looked at. I've got them in my article I'm writing today. They can see that real wages have lifted modestly for several years, and they won't be inclined to feed through automatically one-offs in the CPI, particularly one-offs in the CPI, which are being part compensated by government payments that are still going to come through on July the 1st. So there's a fair chance that they will run underneath that 5.1%. There's another case that comes up early in July, which is a relativity case, and will certainly give a significant rise to a fairly significant workforce. That's aged care workers. There's a case in there which will be heard, I think, on July the 3rd, July the 4th, and that's for a 25% pay increase, because the argument is that the pay levels in aged care are so low. They don't attract enough workers. That's part of the problem identified by the Royal Commission, why there's a lack of workers and the conditions are so poor in aged care. So there's a fair chance that Fair Work Commission will look at that and say, yeah, we really do need to give this group a very large wage increase. But I'd put money on it, and they'll stagger that over a number of years. So there'll be some pretty hefty annual increases, but they won't do 25% at once. So although we're going to see a lift in wages, I doubt very much whether it's going to catch all the way up to the CPI. Although, give it a year or so, and it will be above the CPI as the CPI starts to come down. But it still means we're in a way better position than most countries overseas. Now, going to Thursday, we've got the latest labour force data. Looks as if it's strong. In April, probably another 40,000 workers with a participation rate at a record high of 66.4%. And we will see something quite exceptional. We'll probably see the unemployment rate coming below 4% for the first time since 1982. So that's 40 years since anybody saw an unemployment rate as low as that. Goes to that. What I said before, this economy is doing unbelievably well in very difficult circumstances. So it's quite strong data, but it's one of those factors which will continue to drive a bit of a furphy running through bond markets. And that is that when you look at bond yields, Australian bond yields have gone to levels at the short end of the curve, which are just about identical with the US, and at the long end of the curve are about 40 basis points above the US, on what is clearly evident in inflation readings, both in the US and prospective inflation readings, that makes no sense whatsoever. And over time, I would expect to see, I'm not sure how it does it, but I would expect to see some change in that relativity between those bond yields, with Australian bond yields dipping somewhat below their US equivalents. They're exactly the opposite way at the moment. Moving to Europe, well, you know, investor confidence there shot -22.6 from -18. They're still agonising over there about the sanctions. Russia's playing hardball, cutting off gas to certain countries. There's a new escalation in the new Cold War with Finland and Sweden going to NATO and saying, let us in urgently, and Putin's saying there will be consequences. So it's not surprising that we're seeing quite a deal of weakness running through investors and consumers in Europe. But most companies in Europe, like companies everywhere, because the global economy has still got a lot of back strength in it, are doing very well. And this came through in the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey for May. This is entirely driven by big businesses in Europe. And the month before was when, you know, obviously, things in Ukraine were looking very dire indeed, and there were threats about, I'm going to let my nuclear missiles off and all this sort of thing. So it went from plus 43 in March down to minus 42 going to April. In May, it's rebounded from minus 42 to plus 29.5. So it's a dichotomy between investors who see the headlines every single day of the week, think, God, this is awful, and react accordingly. Consumers in their sentiment say, God, this is awful. I'll mark down in this consumer sentiment survey. By the way, I'm just going to go off and buy a fridge. Whereas businesses say, look, my order book's full. I can't get enough workers. Everything's very strong. So there is this bit of a split, and it's clearly there in Europe. Now, in Europe this week, we'll have a revision to Q1 GDP. In Q1, Europe's GDP struggled ahead by 0.2%, up 5%. I don't think there'll be any revision to that. And we'll get their April CPI and core CPI holding up there. They're still not past the peak. So at 7.5%, same as the month before, and the core CPI at 3.5%. ECB, when it comes around, is a special case. They are not raising rates at this stage, even though if you looked at their inflation rate, they should be. And the risk is, you know, what happens if we do have to impose these very, very heavy sanctions, cutting off energy supplies, particularly to Germany, which is slinging into recession. We can't put up interest rates ahead of that. And so, you know, this is the interesting case of Europe. It really, if you're looking at the past data, it should have had interest rate hikes a long time ago. But what it sees on its future, which is literally governed by the boundaries with Ukraine, means that the ECB has to tread very carefully. You know, the other factor in Europe, too, is that in most countries, that huge fiscal stimulus that we saw going back a year or so back is starting to fade a bit now. Not in Europe. They passed that huge fiscal stimulus where the European Commission will help to fund the weaker economies to grow strongly. So their fiscal stimulus is actually ramping up this year against what's happening in many other economies. So very, very mixed picture in all this. But good luck in risk assets. It's going to be one hell of a scary ride up and down. And for the moment, it's up again. Wait till you get to the top of the roller coaster, because with the way these inflation figures are likely to ebb and flow and the reactions from the central banks, there's another dip ahead.